Let's pray. God, you are great. You are king over everything. You spoke and creation happened. You hung stars and you carved out mountains and canyons. You are beyond and more, and yet you promise us that you are also immediate, that you are as close as our breath. So God, for my brothers and sisters who are here today, for myself, I pray that you would make us keenly aware of how near you draw to us. God, we don't pretend like because we've come here that this is all our life is. We don't want to carve it up and compartmentalize it, God. We understand that you have blessed us with life, that it is a gift. And so help us to receive that gift thankfully, God. And help us to receive the gift of new life. That your promise is that we can have life and have it to the full. And so inspire us, God. Move us to speak kind words to our neighbors. Move us to meet needs where we see them. God, move us to forget our grudges. And to forget judgment. Instead, God, to proceed with compassion. We believe that that's possible in you. God, I thank you so much for all the people here today, all the families represented, and for those who have found new family because of you. So God, please be near to those in this room who feel lonely, to those in this room who feel like there are things that are weighing them down that they can't shake. Would you give them a fresh breath and a spirit of courage today? Help them to know that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. That not death, not pain, not loss, not shame or embarrassment or guilt we feel could keep us from your love. Help us to know deep at the core of who we are that you love us recklessly, passionately, with forgiveness and grace. God, thank you for being a good father. God, we thank you for all of your children scattered across our community today who are gathered to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for those churches who do such good work, who heal hurt and make accessible paths to you. And God, we want to be those people as well. We want to know ourselves to be your children. So as your children, we want to offer you this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Easter at the Matheson. My name is Jim Downing. I'm one of the pastors of First Methodist. We are honored and delighted by your presence here today. I was talking with a pastor who was telling me about a children's time that another church had on Easter Sunday morning, and all the children gathered up around the pastor, and he began by asking the question, "Do you know what a resurrection is?" And one little child said, "Well, I'm not sure what it is, but I think I've been told if it lasts longer than 4 hours, you're supposed to take a pill for that." That's why we didn't have a children's time. Let's pray. God, we're your kids, and we love that you love us. We can't even begin to imagine what kind of love would drive you to the cross. And even more love that raised you from the dead. And a love that wants to invade our hearts so that we can spend eternity with you. God, thank you for this holy day. For this holy moment where we celebrate the powerful, saving name of Jesus, the one who is the resurrection and the life. May we trust in you and believe in you. Draw us into your heart, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you would participate, I would like to invite you to, on the count of three, say your name out loud. Are you ready? One, two, three. Jim. And it kind of sounds something like. Now, believe it or not, that is part of the last name of the man who bears the longest name in the world. It begins with Adolf, Blaine, Charles, David, Earl, Frederick, Gerhard, Hubert, Irvin, and on and on and on. 746 letters in his total name. For short, he goes by Hubert Blaine Wolf plus 585 letters. That's his nickname. This guy is a typesetter in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Imagine that. Longest name in the world. The most popular surname in the world is the name Lee, L-I. If you were naming your baby in 2012, the most popular girls' names were Sophia, Emma, and Olivia. If you've got that name, shout it out. Come on, let me hear. Do we have anybody here by that name? Nobody. Okay. This is above average crowd. All right, I see what we're working with here. Over all the census in the United States, Mary, Patricia, and Linda are the most popular women's names. For guys, in 2012, Aiden, Jackson, and Ethan. Come on, I've seen a couple of Ethans and Jacksons in here. Then for all time, John and Robert. To know somebody's name is to suggest that you have relationship with them. And sometimes to know a person's name is to have power or influence. One of the first things that the first man was charged to do was to name all the animals so that the angels in heaven wouldn't have to say, hey, did you see that thing? No, I mean that other thing that was running over here, swimming there. See, names are very important. And when someone uses our full name, it means we're in trouble. Like, how many times have I heard, James R. Downing Jr., get over here right now. My dad and mom had some talking to do to me. Some of us are named after our parents. Some of us are named after other family members. We've even got at least one or two people in this crowd that were named after the family pet. How is that? Others are named for the day or the season in which they were born. June, May, April, winter, summer. Or like my grandmother, who was born on this day, named Easter. I was talking to my daughter recently and said, you are the great-granddaughter of Easter. Some of us have unique spellings. Some of us have very unique ways that we render our names. I know within our congregation there are at least five ways that you can spell Cheryl, and if you don't get it exactly right, you're probably not going to get the right person. Well, there's a name that I came across a couple years ago, and it's this one that's going to appear on the screen. Now read it and think about it for yourself, and then I'm going to tell you how it's pronounced. It's actually Ladasha. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It's a real name. Real person. Beautiful person. Beautiful, fun, unique names. And a name can define us. Just name your boy Chase, but don't complain to me if that's what you end up doing after him. Name your daughter Joy. Just see how much of that she brings into the world for all who know her. We are here today to talk about a name, the name Jesus. God tells Mary and Joseph that they need to name their baby and they need to name him Jesus. It's a beautiful name. It's a powerful name. And it means he who saves his people from their sins. Jesus is the one who saves. Say it out loud with me. The one who saves. One of the early followers of Jesus, a guy by the name of Paul, writes in Philippians chapter 2 about the name and the nature of Jesus. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But made of himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you catch that line? He's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, all of us should bow and confess that he's the one who saves and that he is Lord of our lives. You see, his name defined his mission, the one who saves people, all of us, people like you and me. We were estranged from God. Names like failure, defeated, broken, sinful, addicted, unloved, unworthy, guilty, shame, lost. Those names sometimes have become the name that hangs on us like a weight around our neck and bearing over our soul. For too many years, for too many days, they have dictated our destiny. They've defined our days. You've heard it. Oh, he'll never amount to anything. That's worthless, isn't it? She will never, ever really be loved. That sounds like unworthiness, doesn't it? And yet God never intended for us to have those kinds of names, and they separate us from this mighty, amazing love that raised Jesus from the dead. He died for this, so that you and I could find a new name and a new nature in him. On the cross, he proclaims, "It is finished," meaning that there is nothing that ever separates us from God ever again, unless we let it. How many folks do you know who just simply walk in the shadow of the cross but don't realize the impact and the power it's supposed to have in our lives? In Christ, you and I are called to be new creatures. God gives us a new name, like loved, my beloved, my joy. God gives us a new name, and with it, a new nature. It's kind of like this.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind, you is important. Oh, that's so good.
This little clip from The Help is more than just a primer for children. It's the proclamation of God to your heart that you are his, that he saves us from all that separates us, that his name is the most powerful one in all the world. So when you face disease, when you face heartache, when you face physical difficulties, that's not supposed to have the greatest power. Jesus wants to give you his life and allow that life to flow through you. There was a banner in the center of the stage when you came in today. It looked like Jesus on the cross. This is the color version of that banner. And it actually is a stained glass window that you will find in a Baptist church in Birmingham, Alabama. Would anybody recognize the name 16th Street Baptist Church, Birmingham, Alabama? That's a place where the heart and soul of this nation began to take a turn in the early 60s. You see, there was a bomb that was set off in that church. Four little girls who had come together to celebrate and to practice for a church service on love means forgiving were tragically killed by the bomb, and more than 20 other children were injured. It was at the heights of the tension between blacks and whites, and racial tension ran heavy. And that bomb set off an electric pulse across this nation, causing folks to wake up and realize color shouldn't separate us. All the kinds of barriers that we create for ourselves, but God only looks upon that and sees how it breaks his heart. That stained glass window was the gift of a church in Wales to the church in Birmingham, Alabama. 16th Street Baptist Church now has that window as a reminder that if you do this to one another, you do this as unto Jesus. It's a reminder for us to love one another just as he has loved us. So we're going to put the name of this town up on the screen. Sedalia, Missouri, Matthewson Center, Easter Sunday morning, 2013. Is it possible that God is calling somebody's name in this place today? That maybe for the first time someone needs to connect to the cross through Christ and to recognize that just doing it on your own is not going to get you everywhere you need to go in life? Maybe there's somebody that started on the journey and then just kind of and thinks there's no way that God could possibly love me after that. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. Nothing can separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Wonder if when we lift up the word Matthewson Center, it might become for some in this place a remembrance of something holy that God does in your heart. You said your name out loud at the very beginning, but what if God whispered your name in this moment and said, "You are mine"? Do you know that? Did you remember that? One final thought. There's this huge thing going on the History Channel, and we're so glad that it is. It's called The Bible. They've been having it in two-hour sessions, five weeks consecutively. It ends tonight. One of the most profound images that I've seen that has come from that is the image of the resurrected Jesus holding out his hand, and you can see through the palm of his hand the light that is shining behind. What does that hole represent? It represents God's heart saying, "You're mine. I gave my life for you. Won't you give your life back to me?" This beautiful verse tucked away in Isaiah chapter 49 says, "See," this is God speaking, "see, I have written your name on the palms of my hand." Young people love to write notes. They'll write somebody's phone number. They'll put somebody's name in the palm of their hand. But to think that Jesus has our name in the palm of his hands, to me, is absolutely striking. But more than having your name on the palm of his hands, he wants to hold you in his heart, and he wants you to spend all of eternity with him. If you become a Christian, and if you are a Christian, one of the things that you and I can know is that we will have endless sunrises. And with every day, there's new mercy, a fresh beginning, a brand new start, and nothing in the past can hold you back. The future's wide open. Maybe our hearts ought to be too. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, would you call some names this morning? For the person that maybe feels broken, for the one who feels overwhelmed by physical or spiritual or emotional difficulties, for the first person who is believing that they are unworthy or unlovable, call a name. God, thank you for reminding me that I am your son. I didn't earn that. I don't deserve it. But today, on this Easter Sunday, I want to mark a new beginning in my own life, to follow you more closely. I pray that that could be the prayer of many who are here today. So we're here listening. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The service will not last much longer, I promise, but we're going to have some folks available at these balloons that are around the arena and folks down front, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And if there's anything on your heart today, if you want to give your heart to Jesus or pray about any matter that's important to you, then won't you please come and find one of these folks who are standing around here. They would be honored and delighted to pray over you. We're going to only take just a few moments for this, but it's an important time. So let's all be in the spirit of prayer. I'd like to invite you to stand up with me if you would. I'm going to offer a blessing for us. We are so honored that you came. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful Easter day. God loves you, and there is nothing you can do about it. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Easter.